Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to want to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and say your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only attorney KC Early. Good morning.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it is a blessing and honor to have you on this morning, Attorney Early. You know, for those folks who may not necessarily know who you are out there, can you briefly introduce yourself, please?
Absolutely. My name is KC Early. I'm a practicing attorney. I've been practicing law for over 8 years. Within that time frame, I have tried over 100 jury and non-jury trials, specifically criminal defense. In addition to that, I'm currently a judicial candidate in Broward County that covers Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I am happy to be here.
That is absolutely awesome. And for those folks who want to support you in your efforts to see you become the next judge down there, I can't wait to see it. Where can they go to reach out to you and support your campaign?
Absolutely. All the information can be found at my official judicial website, and that is my first and last name.com. Kaysia, K-A-Y-S-I-A, last name Early, E-A-R-L-E-Y.com.
Awesome. Get out there and support our campaign. Can't think of another person who would be greater to represent the people down there than Attorney Early. So Attorney Early, you know, the purpose of our podcast is to bring amazing people like yourself on. And have you kind of talk through one of your most difficult times in your life here. You have an amazing story. I won't go into it much, but I want you to go into it. Tell us a little bit about your early days, your early life, growing up in Bronx and then Miami, single parent mom, and then when you got to college, and then how your life took a turn, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So as you alluded to, I am a product of a single family household. When I was 8 years old, my father moved us down to Florida from New York, and then he left. I don't know if that was a plan, but he left my mother. She had 8 children by him, and she wasn't working at the time. So I recall that we went from living in a 4-bedroom house with a guest house in the back to suddenly we were temporarily staying at a neighbor's, and then we moved to the inner city. And for me, that was a culture shock because no one explained anything to me. No one told me that dad wasn't coming back. My mom, she just kind of shut down. And then I just, you know, we went about our business being raised in the inner city. I am the fourth of the 8 children. And I knew that I wanted something better, just didn't know how. I knew that my mother didn't have the finances, but I always expressed to my mom an interest in becoming the president, coincidentally. I told her I wanted to be president. So what she did was when I was 14 years old, she allowed me to move with my aunt who lived near the DC metropolitan area. So I suppose that she thought that the closer I was to the White House, the closer I would become to my dreams of becoming president. And that kind of, I'm grateful for that because it took me out of the inner city into the suburbs, but it also gave me the opportunity to live with my aunt who fostered and cared for me and allowed me to go to college. Mm. I was the first generation in my entire generation to go to college. And during my senior year, I was charged, convicted, and sentenced to a period of incarceration because of the job that I held while I was in college.
Yeah, wow. I mean, what an amazing story. Your mother and your aunt, I mean, sound like some amazing people as well. So, you know, you mentioned your college career and your senior year. Talk to us briefly, because again, folks out there may not necessarily know what it's like to have a loved one or even, you know, themselves be incarcerated. Tell us about how it felt when you, I mean, here it is, you're this up and coming, rising young lady who's at one of the best universities in the country, getting ready to go off and start your stellar career, and suddenly things change and you're convicted of a crime, and you hear the words that you're going to now serve time in jail. Talk to us about the feelings and emotions that you had to kind of deal with when you heard that.
Well, first, it was a complete shock to me because the arrest occurred in my sophomore year. So the case, you know, progressed through my junior year, and then my senior year is when I had to go for sentencing. But throughout the entire case, my attorney kept telling me, oh, I have nothing to worry about. So I just went ahead and continued with school, continued working, believing that because I was a first-time offender, because I didn't have a pass, because I was in college, these would have been all mitigating factors that the judge would consider. Unbeknownst to me, and just to give you the listeners an idea of why I was arrested, I was working at a shoe store, one of three jobs that I had when I was in college, because my mother didn't have good credit, so she couldn't co-sign a loan. So I literally was working two full-time jobs, one part-time job, and going to school full-time. Don't ask me how I did it. And when some of my classmates found out that I was working at the shoe store, I would tell them, yeah, come on, I'll give you my employee discount. Right. And I did it, but I was arrested for embezzlement because the way that they calculated the amount, they said the amount that I discounted the shoes was over $300. Anything over $300 is a felony. So, you know, I admit, and I'm not saying that I was wrong or that they shouldn't have arrested me. I did wrong. You know, you have to suffer the consequences. But again, I believe that my attorney did not fight for me. He did not advocate for me. He could have, advocated for, let's say, a pretrial diversion program or even probation. But to be sentenced to jail, that was a complete shocker to me. So I was actually sentenced, I believe it was a week before my graduation. Wow. And the judge initially told me that I was supposed to be immediately remanded into custody. And I'm looking at my attorney. He's not fighting for me. He's just standing there. I'm like, well, what did I pay you for? Right. So I just took it upon myself. And at that very moment, I believe that I became an advocate for myself. Yeah. And I basically told the judge, you know, Your Honor, I accept any punishment that you give me. I said, but I've worked hard to complete college. I'm asking if you would just allow me to defer the sentence, allow me to walk across the stage, and I promise I will turn myself in. So he agreed. The original sentence, I was facing 3 years in prison. The original sentence was supposed to be a year, but I ended up serving 30 days solitary confinement. And that was a blessing, but at the same time, it was a hindrance because when you are arrested and incarcerated, you know that there's collateral consequences attached to incarceration, no matter how many days. An arrest can be detrimental. So I suffered consequences as a result of not only my incarceration, but my arrest, and then what the arrest was for, which was a crime of dishonesty.
Yeah, that's amazing. And really, thank you for being transparent and honest about that as well. So as you were going through this period of your life, what were some of the coping mechanisms that you kind of turned to keep yourself moving forward?
Well, primarily, I had to rededicate my life to Christ. That's my story. Yeah. I was raised in a church. So when my father left my mother, she was raised in a church. So what she did was she raised us in the church. Sure. So that's all I remember. But when I went to college, I started to fall back from going to church because I was working the three jobs and I was going to school. And I always say, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And I was busy so much so that I stopped going to church, stopped praying. And it took for me to be incarcerated to really rededicate my life back to Christ. And I literally did that while I was incarcerated in solitary confinement. So that is what I used to encourage me was the scriptures, the promises in the Bible.
Yeah, and there's no better coping mechanism than to turning to Christ when you're in that moment of need as well. Did you have any mentors or guides at all that kind of helped you kind of move from this period of your life?
Initially, no. Especially living in the inner city, I had no mentors, no godparents, nothing. Uh-huh. I would say my aunt was very instrumental when I moved to Maryland in putting education first. She was very on hands, very strict, but I appreciate that. Because I do credit her in pushing me, because had she not done that, I probably would not have gone to college, because again, no one went. So that wasn't a route that we would take. I didn't really have mentors in my life until I became a lawyer. So maybe this is why I'm such a mentor to everyone that I can possibly be, because I know the importance of having good people behind you, good people really motivating you. And then also when I became a part of the church, my church brothers and sisters became my mentors. They held me accountable and encouraged me. So it was really when I rededicated my life back to Christ, and then when I got older into my career, I got some mentors who I consider very close to me today.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So as you look back today, and you know, you were sentenced to go serve time for a very menial crime. You know, most people are like, what are you talking about? $300. What kept you going on your darkest day though? I mean, because there are many people who see that, hear that gavel drop, and it's over with for him, you know, but you kept fighting. What kept you fighting?
Well, initially it took a while. I'll be quite honest. Although I rededicated my life back to Christ, although I started down the path of becoming a productive member of society, it took me 7 years to go back to law school. Because again, I did my incarceration right after I graduated from undergrad. And because I did not have any mentors, I just assumed that because once you get arrested, you can't apply to law school. I didn't have anyone tell me otherwise. And you know, Google, not to date myself, wasn't out like that.
Right, absolutely.
I didn't have anybody. So I said, you know what? I gave up on my dream of becoming a lawyer. So I said the next best thing from becoming a lawyer would be a paralegal. So I started working as a paralegal. And for 7 years, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, I came across an article. You know, I'm on my lunch break just Googling 7 years later. And I come across this article of a form of drug. I don't know if he was a drug dealer or a drug user. Drugs were involved and lots of it. And he became a lawyer. And I'm saying to myself, now I went to jail. He went to prison. I did a county sentence. He did years. He has drugs. I just have this felony embezzlement. If he can do it, I can do it. Right. So that's when I started calling around, letting schools know, hey, you know, I'm interested in applying for law school, but I got arrested. Can I still apply? I didn't want to waste money. And I could, but all of the law schools told me, you could apply, we could accept you. But the problem is, after you graduate, after you take the bar, you have to go before a board. And if the board believes that you are not rehabilitated from your past indiscretions, you basically are going to law school for nothing.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, challenge accepted. I'm going to law school and it won't be for nothing.
Right.
That's what I did.
Right. That's right. I love it. I love the confidence. I love the forward thinking in there as well. You know, so as you look back on this whole ordeal today, how would you say this all has shaped you as a person and in the work that you're doing? It's pretty obvious as we see it, but tell us about that.
Oh man, let me tell you. If I could turn back the hands of time and do anything differently, I would keep the incarceration.
Yes.
Because the incarceration, and I'm kind of glad now that I didn't get probation or I didn't get diversion, because who knows, maybe I would have done other things and got into trouble even more. That incarceration did something to me because it allowed me to see what my clients go through. It allowed me to understand this solitary mindset. It allowed me to be empathetic, sympathetic, compassionate. So when I go before a jury, in fact, I have a trial on Monday. When I go before a jury, it's always in my mind that my client is going to walk out those doors that I walked out of.
Right.
And that my client, I just lawyer from the heart. And I know that it's because of my incarceration that I'm this passionate about my clients.
That is fantastic. And your clients are really blessed to have someone like you fighting in their corner for them as well. And again, I can't wait to have you fighting in that role of judge in that area as well. You know, so, you know, Attorney Early, we're coming off the last couple of years here where people have lost loved ones. They lost finances. They lost material possessions, lost employment, and in some situations even lost hope. So for those folks out there listening right now who are wondering if a brighter day is going to come, what can you share with them that to hold on and hang in there, that, you know, brighter day is going to come?
Well, my strong foundation is certainly from the word of God. And the word says that all things work together for the good to those that love him and who are called according to his purpose. So all things will work together, but it takes us to accept the fact that we have a relationship with Christ. That's first and foremost. And, you know, this is not about indoctrination. It's about what pulled me through and what I know and what I believe, because think about it. It worked together for my good. And sometimes when we're going through the midst of our troubles, when we're going through the midst of bad news and sad news, we don't see a way out and then we lose hope. But then fast forward years later, that was necessary. It was a necessary element for us to be the person that we are today. There can't be always sunshine because then the grass will burn up, right? We need rain. We need different elements. So it's going to get better. And no matter what, we're always in life, I always say to my clients, you're either coming into a situation, you're in a situation, or you're coming out of a situation only to go back into another situation. So what do? Do you just stop living? Do you give up? Do you just hang your head low? No, you keep going knowing that it's going to work together for your good. So if I can say anything to anyone, no matter how the situation looks, it's going to get better.
That's right. Wow. What profound words coming from a person who's been there, done that. So definitely be out there and support her. Again, attorney Early, if people want to reach you or support you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, as I stated earlier, my official website, that's where you can get all the information. If you want to know everything about my judicial campaign, upcoming voluntary events, upcoming meet and greets, that's at my official website, kayaearley.com, kayaearley.com. But I'm also on social media. So social media is where I give updates to all of my followers. So I'm still mentoring. I'm still litigating. I'm still going to trial. I'm still campaigning. So it's a lot that I'm doing other than the practice of law. And all of that, it can be, excuse me, it's on my website, social media site, kayaearley, for judge. Facebook, Instagram, same handle.
That is awesome. Get out there and support her. You're talking about no better person to be able to serve in those positions to help out our folks out there as well. So attorney Early, you know, we talked about tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun now?
Let's go.
All right. So this portion of our show is called Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. I'm gonna ask you some questions about purpose. I want you to give me in the audience your most concise answer. Are you ready?
Ready, ready, ready.
All right, the young early kids, you guys ready to hear your mom on the spot there? Let me hear you.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go, there we go. She has our kids at work today with her as well, so excited about this. So attorney Early, tell us what gives your life meaning.
Christ, he's fulfilling.
Yes. What one word best describes you?
Proverbs 31.
I love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
The lack of love, compassion.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play in the dirt.
Play in the dirt. Mud pie. Okay, mud pies. Wow, that's old school right there. Kids don't know about that today. Mud pies. Yeah. Yes. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Sleep.
As a mother of four, absolutely, right?
Hello.
Yes. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. So somewhere working on Capitol Hill, I guess.
Okay, good. Who inspires you the most?
Christ.
Okay, good. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
That I'm limitless. There's nothing too hard for me through Christ.
Yes, absolutely. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Oh, Bora Bora, Tahiti.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Nice trip.
There you go. Nice trip. I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
That she was a woman of God and that she had integrity.
Yes. You were a superhero. What would your superpower be?
The fountain of youth.
Okay, that's a good one. I love it. I love it. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Oh, wow. This one, I'll give credit to my children.
Okay.
They keep me going.
That's what I'm talking about. I love it. Speaking of Capitol Hill, you became president today. What law would you pass first?
4-day school week. Kids off on Fridays.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of folks would, you'd be getting their votes. You'd be getting mine.
And 4-day school week and 4-day work week. So kids and parents off Fridays.
That's even better. You're going to get a lot of votes out there. I love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Wow. Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a music artist. My daughter is calling out one of my old school 90s music artists. So.
Okay. Which one?
Anne-Marie.
Okay. Anne-Marie. Okay. All right. Good. That's a good one. Okay. And why?
Her music was different. And where is she at now? So, you know, just anything but being in the office, some type of entertainer, just traveling the world.
I love it. What do you love to do for others?
Give.
Okay. What's been the best compliment you ever received?
My personality.
Okay. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Wow. I grew into speaking up, so that wasn't it. I don't know, just taking a leap of faith, doing something.
What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
When I stood up to my teacher after she told me I could not be president.
Okay, that's good.
And I didn't change my answer.
Yes, I love it. What does success look like for you?
Happiness.
Yes. What are you most grateful for?
My family, my husband and my children.
Yes. What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
That what profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul.
Yes, great lesson. I love that right there. Yeah. And last but not least, Attorney Casey Early, how do you want to be remembered in history?
A God-fearing woman.
Yes. Awesome job. You survived. Drop the mic. Woo! Good job. Congratulations.
I have a tidbit for you. You should add on there. What is something that you can't do? Because I heard my children whispering. To this day, it's two things I can't parallel park. I passed the bar. I litigate attempted murder cases, but I just can't seem to parallel park.
That's something we don't do anymore today, though. Hey, last and final thought here. As we wrap things up here, our podcast centers on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Well, we were all created with a purpose. Our life is special and it has meaning. So no matter what challenges we face, no matter what obstacles we come up against, just know that our life is filled with meaning and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Oh, very well said, Attorney Casey Early. Folks, follow her, support her efforts. You're talking about an amazing lady who's been there, done that, and has a heart for the people. Get out there again. Once again, what's the best place to follow you at?
KasiaEarly.com, KasiaEarly.com.
Awesome. Hey, folks, if you or someone out there with an amazing story, we want to hear from you, please go to TaWatson.com, share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And for everyone that's out there, I want to God bless. Thank you for joining us today. God bless. Peace and
deuces. Yours truly, Dr. Watson.